The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
This morning we have as our guest speaker, the one who, Miss Angela Pugh. She has been with the CARE Pregnancy Center for a couple of years. She's originally from Texas, but she's taught school in Bossier City for 20-something years, you said? 26 years. Been married for 42 years, raised two children, two boys. Have been a member of Cypress Baptist Church, and so we welcome her to share about their ministry, and I encourage you to let God speak to your heart and say, how can I be involved? How can I help? How can I give to be a part of what God is doing to save the lives of children in our world today? Come, Angela. Okay.
Okay, I'm a teacher by trade, so I've always got visual aids, so I got to get my little stuff set up here. Okay, I'm so honored to be with you this morning. When your pastor called the Pregnancy Center to ask for a speaker, he didn't ask for me. He asked for someone to come. I'm honored because he asked, but I'm more honored because God chose me today to come and speak to you. I've got my tissues because I'm a crier, so I will kind of need for y'all to bear with me on that. What brought me to the CARE Pregnancy Center? In about 10 years ago, what would that be, 2009, I was teaching a class of gifted students, and oddly enough, I wound up with a class that was all girls. Whoever hears of that. But I decided with these girls to do a community service project. And one of the girls chose to focus on unwed mothers and on girls who had been a little bit, let's say, undiscerning in their relationships. And she wanted to work with those girls. She brought in a guest speaker who was extremely dynamic from the Pregnancy Center. My interest was piqued. I was, you know, a little bit interested in that, and I thought, that's a pretty cool thing. And as time went on, I saw this woman all over town. Like, everywhere I went, she was in my face, you know. She was all over the place. And this went on for several years. She ended up showing up on campus a number of times for various reasons. And about 2015, a friend asked me to attend the, at that time, Crisis Pregnancy Center banquet. And I thought, well, yeah, good meal, sure, I'll go. And I went, and the speaker was so dynamic. And so I followed up and went the next year. Well, I love to work out. So when the same friend asked me to go to the Life March, I thought, there's an opportunity to get steps on my Fitbit. So I went the following 2 years. When I retired in 2016, I knew God was pulling me somewhere. And I could not get the Pregnancy Center out of my mind. So in 2017, I went to be trained as a client advocate, not knowing that the CARE Pregnancy Center was the brainchild of a very close childhood friend that I'd lost contact with. She started this because her sister had an unplanned pregnancy and there was nowhere for her to go. So I thought that was pretty cool. God knows where he's leading you and he prepares you. Let's back up a little bit in time to January 22nd, 1973. You know, we heard that Pearl Harbor was a day that would live in infamy. To me, this is a day that would live in infamy. This was the day the Supreme Court decided in favor of Roe versus Wade or Norma McCorvey, who was the Roe in this case, and legalized abortion. The interesting thing, and something else I didn't know until I did a little research, that Norma McCorvey provided false testimony. She was never pregnant. like that false testimony, abortion gives women a false testimony. It tells them that it will provide them relief in their time of need. Because believe me, it's a scary time. Financially, emotionally, spiritually, in every way, these women are in a terrible time in their lives, and they're looking for a way out. And abortion falsely says, I'm the way out. And I will give you relief and hope for your future. We know that hope for our future is not through abortion. Thankfully, in 1984, we had a president who responded. And just because I think a person's words are so powerful, I want to read to you in his words what Ronald Reagan had to say. January 13th, 1984, he issued a proclamation that says, "The values and freedoms we cherish as Americans rest on our fundamental commitment to the sanctity of human life. The first of the unalienable rights affirmed by our Declaration of Independence is the right to life itself, a right the Declaration states has been endowed by our Creator on all human beings, whether young or old, weak or strong, healthy or handicapped. Since 1973, however, 15 million unborn children have died. Y'all, that's in 11 years. 15 million in legalized abortions. A tragedy of stunning dimensions that stands in sad contrast to our belief that each life is sacred. These children, over tenfold the number of Americans that have died in our nation's wars, will never laugh, never sing, never experience the joy of human love, nor will they strive to heal the sick or feed the poor or make peace among nations. Abortion has denied them the first and most basic of human rights, and we are infinitely poorer for their loss." And I'm going to skip to the end. "Now, therefore, I, Ronald Reagan, President of the United States of America, do hereby proclaim Sunday, January the 22nd, 1984, as National Sanctity of Human Life Day. I call upon the citizens of this blessed land to gather on that day in homes and places of worship to give thanks for the gift of life and to reaffirm our commitment to the dignity of every human being and to the sanctity of each human life. Because of Roe versus Wade, pregnancy centers like the CARE Pregnancy Center have sprung up throughout our country. Just to give you an idea of how effective these are and how much work there is to do, okay, by January the 1st of this year, 46 years after abortion was legalized, more than 60 million babies have been aborted. I know if I ask you what is the largest methodical extermination of a race or group of people, you'll all give me the same answer. The Holocaust. 11 million lives. In our country, we have legally aborted 60 million babies. Let that sink in for just a minute. In 2018, the CARE Pregnancy Center in Shreveport saw 1,377 clients. We provided 860 pregnancy tests, 416 limited ultrasounds, and a reported 50 babies saved. Praise God. A branch of our ministry, the Care Parenting Center, saw 169 newly registered men and women come in to take classes in parenting, child care, self-help, many things. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But since 1994, this center has saved approximately 1,469 babies. At this center, because we receive no federal funding, we are able to present the gospel. 488 men and women have made professions of faith in the counseling rooms. Get my tissue. We also offer an abortion recovery class, which is actually a Bible study. 300 women and 17 men have successfully completed that Bible study since 1994. So we are on our way. Sad that we have to have this, but it is a necessity. So I was going to kind of lead you the way I do a client through the counseling room, and I was going to kind of put you at ease by telling you I'm not going to come and ask for your money, but your pastor has done that for me. So while I wasn't going to do it, thank you very much. But I am here to inform you a little bit today and to maybe shift focus a little bit from what we normally think the Pregnancy Center is about. So today we will talk about the role of the center. We're going to talk about the role of the father of these of these unborn children, because that's very often not discussed. And then we're going to talk a little bit about our role as Christians and what we can do. When a client enters the pregnancy center, she'll go to the front desk, get some paperwork, fill it out, and the receptionist will bring it back to Yolanda or me or one of the client advocates there. And we will go and get the young lady and take her and give her the little vessel for her pregnancy test. I'm sure Yolanda does the same thing and all the other clients. While she is in there, I'm actively praying that God will give me a connection to that girl. We don't know what their story is. When they come in, we don't know where they're from. We don't know what their issues are. We don't even know what their plans are. All we ask is that God put the right words in our mouth. Send the Holy Spirit to be with us and to guide us. Sometimes words come out of my mouth that I have no idea where they're coming from. And that may happen today. Okay. So when we take the client back to the counseling room, and this session lasts 45 minutes to an hour typically. Sometimes it can go longer depending on the girl. But we ask about their situation, their work situation, their education situation, why they think they're pregnant, anything, children that they've got that can help us to make a connection to them. We don't just immediately start bombarding. We make a connection. And then we tell them that we're not there to judge. We're not there to manipulate. We're there to offer them options. You saw at the bottom of the screen, we are www.givethemoptions.com. And that's what we do. I start, you know, with abortion, because that's the elephant in the room. You know, is that what you want to do? If they say they're thinking about it, hey, we've got the information. We give them accurate medical information on the morning after pill, on surgical abortions, and it's, the risks are pretty gruesome. And we give them those. They don't realize that there are emotional risks. There are spiritual risks, aside from the physical risks. And they all think the morning after pill is the way to go, because there are no risks. How wrong they are. How wrong they are. So if they choose to get that information, we give them that. Okay, and then I move in my counseling sessions to adoption next. Many of these girls don't know that there are fully open adoptions available now. If they choose to give up their baby, they can still be a part of that child's life. We also have an adoption specialist on site who can speak with these girls with much more credibility than I can. And finally, we talk about parenting. Single parenting, if that's where they're going, married parenting, joint parenting, whatever it is, we've got good information to give to them on that. My happiest time in a counseling room is when the father is actually there. Because it's at that point, once the options are gone over, that I just kind of ask him in some way. And God always opens the door for me to say, what do you think about this in terms of your faith? Does your faith have anything to do with the decisions you're making? Do you have a spiritual life? Do you know you're going to heaven? How do you know? And I will say I've had some interesting ones. I had one explain Wiccan to me. That was something I'd not heard before. Interesting enough about her, she came back a year later, and I saw her again. Didn't know that I was going to get her walked in, and we were both surprised. And I said, this time you are expecting, and how is this going with your Wiccan? You know, are you still practicing? And she said, we're going to get married on Halloween. And she said, but we want his aunt to be involved, and she's Christian. So we're going to kind of move in that direction. So, you know, some of these things are a little bit out there, but we do get to share the gospel, and that's one of my favorite times in the room. Sometimes they will shut you down, and God just says, it's not the time. Don't go there today. So we kind of back off. I've really learned to listen about that and not be the steamroller. After we do that and we determine whether or not the girl is pregnant, if she actually is, we offer a lot of information on fetal development, the things she should and shouldn't do. We provide them with prenatal vitamins. And we also tell them about our Merits for Moms program. And this is what I was talking about earlier with the Care Parenting Center. The Parenting Center is a wonderful place. We don't want these girls just to have their baby. We want them to have their babies and be good parents. You know, and some of them don't have the background to be a good parent. Their parents weren't good for them, and they may not be good for their children. So the Parenting Center offers classes in child development. They offer a Terrible Twos toddler class, which, you know, many of you who have had children go through that age know that that's important. They have a men's class where they teach them to diaper the baby and, you know, that babies won't break. And fathers who have been through the class will come back and share their experiences. There are classes in, family life. What was my family like when I was growing up? And how is that going to affect the way I parent my own child? So there are lots of different choices. They've even got arts and crafts classes that these women can take, reading classes. How do I make my child a reader? Surprising what a lot of these women don't know. But they can go to these classes. They can take a class. And in that class, they earn merit. You can go over and visit. It's right across the street from the Social Security office in Shreveport behind Walmart. Amazing place. They've got what they call a mom's mart over there. Some of the things are donated new from stores. Some of the things are gently used and cleaned up. But these women, from the time they enroll until their baby is 2 years old, can work this system and not pay a dime for anything. They can get formula. They can get wipes, shampoo, diapers, pack and place, car seats. Any of y'all priced a car seat lately? I bet you have, and I'm glad I don't have children to put in them anymore. Glad mine are past that. Strollers, baby beds, clothes, anything they need is available. They work this program the right way. They have 2 years of their baby's life. That's a financial burden that is huge to some of these women. Absolutely huge. Well, what if everybody can't get there to take classes? They're only required to take 2 classes a month, but there are other ways that they can earn merits. Okay. One is, do they have a job? If the baby's father enrolls with them and he's got a job, they get double points. If one or both of them are in school, they get points for going to school. They get points for going to their doctor's visits. They get points for attending a Christian church. So all of these things are things that we want them to do anyway, but it's helping fill a need for them. And so some of the money that you donate, and I am going to go there, some of the money you donate may very well go to purchase some of those diapers, some of those wipes, some of the formula, the things that people cannot legally donate. Or I guess you could donate diapers, but most people use them up. Okay. So when we get to that point with the girl, by then ears are perking up. It's like, maybe this is not as bad as I thought. So when we leave the counseling room, we go and show them a little bit about what the Mom Smart is about. We've got a little room. And the women get to choose. Everybody leaves with a gift. And I want to thank the WMU for providing these. The girls leave. They get to choose a little handmade gift out of the mom's chest. And if the father is there, he gets to choose a toy. We've got a dad's box, and the dad gets to choose a toy. And it's surprising how exciting that is for them, how much they enjoy, because they dig through them. One of them even asked me, is this it? Is that all? You know, so everybody leaves with something. If the woman is not abortion vulnerable, that means like ready to do it today, then we offer them an ultrasound. We sign them up. We refer them to the nurse. The nurse will call them and in 3 or 4 days set up a limited ultrasound for them. If they are abortion vulnerable, if they are on their way or are undecided and leaning in that direction, then we take them immediately. And thank goodness we've got nurses available pretty much now all the time. So we can almost always get an ultrasound if the woman is just on her way there. When they're in the ultrasound room, there's always a client advocate in there as kind of a chaperone. And these blankets are something that we give to them. Y'all, when that woman is on that table and she's facing this unplanned pregnancy and she's looking at that screen and the nurse is pointing out a fetus, and then the nurse says, see that little blinking up there? That's that heartbeat. Your baby's heart is beating at 110 beats a minute. And we hand them this. Y'all, this is a game changer. This makes it real. When it becomes real that that is a life living in them, when it becomes real, lives change. My first abortion vulnerable client was a young lady who was from a very poverty-stricken background. very low socioeconomic status, no emphasis on education, no emphasis on bettering herself at all. And when she came in that room and got her positive reading on her test, she cried. And she said, I can't have this baby right now. And I said, well, what's keeping you from it? Is it financial? Is it? She said, look at me. She said, do you know what it took me to get through high school? Do you know what it took me to earn a bachelor's degree? She said, I'm through my first year in my master's program. She said, I'm the only one in my family ever to finish high school. She said, I want to break this cycle of poverty. Very well-spoken young lady. She had one more year in graduate school. She said, I want a baby, but this is not the right time. Well, we all know that our time doesn't matter anyway. It's God's time. But we took her into the counsel or into the ultrasound room immediately. The baby's father was with her, and he sat there the whole time with his head down. And before we went into the ultrasound room, I asked him, I said, how do you feel about this? And tears came to his eyes. He said, I know it's up to her, but he said, I want this baby. So we went in the ultrasound room. She got on the table, and God moving again, I just went a little early and got the blanket. Don't know why. Went over there. Don't know why I picked up the one I did. But I have a friend who makes blankets. I don't know if you ladies know what Minky is, that real soft blanket stuff. Well, she puts that on one side, and she puts a really pretty print on the other. And she bought an extremely expensive monogramming machine that her husband threatened her. He said, you better be using this for something good. And she monograms Bible verses on them. And this one happened to say, a gift from God. And I handed it to her, and she rubbed it on her face, and she said, ooh, this is so soft. She said, I'm going home tonight and cuddle with this. And she just rubbed it throughout. So I thought, oh, we've changed her mind. Of course, we know that it's not us. Well, we went in to counsel with them after the ultrasound, and she left that day still undecided. For 2 weeks, I prayed for that girl, and 2 weeks later, I called her, and she said, I can't kill my baby. Saved baby. Don't know which part of the puzzle worked. Doesn't matter. God wove it all together. He gets the glory. Saved baby. Okay. The youngest abortion vulnerable client I had, she and her boyfriend were freshmen in high school. And the girl's mother was bound and determined that that child was going to have an abortion. Now, you know, legally, a parent cannot force a child to have an abortion. But thankfully, her school, friends, other family members intervened on her behalf and the center as well, and got her past that 20-week period where she could legally have an abortion. I am happy to say she's got a beautiful, healthy baby girl today. But Mom wanted her to abort. I brought that story in not because of their ages or anything else, but it's to deal with the second part of what I want to talk about, and that's the role of the father. The pregnancy center had these magnets available for a long time. I'm not sure if we've still got them, but they say fatherhood begins in the womb. The young man who came in with this young girl sat there throughout her counseling session, holding her hand, stroking her hand and just crying. I mean, just not sobbing, but tears were running down his face. And when I finished talking with her, I turned around and I said, "Do you have any questions? Do you have any concerns?" And he said, "All I want to know is what can I do? What can I do?" That young man, 15 years old, got it. He knew that he had a responsibility. In fact, so much so that I heard from the parenting center later that he had called over there and asked if he could come to classes without her. He wanted to know what was going on. He definitely did. Okay. So it's obvious that at some of these young men's hearts, there's a knowledge that fatherhood is a role that God has prescribed for them to play. Not man. But unfortunately, we've allowed our culture to become involved in what God has to say. By the way, just a little interesting side note on the father issue. And I noticed this and spoke to some of the other counselors about it. When the father to these babies comes to the counseling room with the mother, and I offer them a Bible, the fathers are the ones who take it. I can't think of one in 2 years woman who has come in alone that when I've offered her a Bible took it. Which I thought, you know, may just be a weird old lady noticing things. But I thought that was pretty interesting. I could lead you, and I know your pastor could lead you, to so many scriptures in the Bible that describe the role of a father. Proverbs 22:6, 2 Corinthians 2 and 3, 1 Timothy 5:8, Proverbs 13:24, and the list could go on and on. And these talk about disciplining your child, raising your child up in the way that he should go. And when he's grown, he won't depart from that way. But the one that I believe gets to the heart of the matter is Deuteronomy 6:6-9. This is when Moses is delivering God's commandments to the sons of Israel. And he says, "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your homes and on your gates." Fatherhood is pervasive. It involves every minute of every hour that you walk this earth. It can't be a pick and choose situation, not according to God. God created the father to be the spiritual leader and the instructor of his family. In October, I don't know how many of you attended our banquet in October, but our speaker was Roland Warren. Roland is a former president of the National Fatherhood Initiative and the current president and CEO of CareNet. Roland was raised with an absentee father. He didn't have the example of a father. And his message in October was that we need to do more to include fathers in the lives of these children. According to Roland, how can a child conceive of the concept of a loving heavenly father when his earthly father has been either absent or abusive. We don't know what a father should be. We can't know what God is to us. If I were at Cyprus, Brother John would be saying, that's a pretty good place for an amen, don't you think? Many of the young men who father these babies want to be involved, and they're turned away by the women for whatever reason. We don't know. Many, many different reasons. I had a young man come in with his baby's mama, and he just listened very quietly as we went through everything. And again, God led. I just turned around to him and I said, do you realize that you're the spiritual leader in this relationship, in this household? And he said, well, he said, my daddy told me I was living in sin, am I? And I said, I believe God would say that if you're not married to this woman, you are living in sin. And he was just as serious. He said, can you help me do something about it? And we talked about what he could do financially and, you know, that would keep their little family intact, because they were planning to get married. It just, you know, wasn't the right time. But he was raised in a Christian household, and he still didn't understand. We think our children understand their roles, but do they? That young man didn't. And by the way, he was extremely proud to get his Bible and ask me if I would fill out the little thing in the front that says presented to, date, and who it was from. He wanted that date in there. But thankfully, he was able to come in with this woman and listen to the gospel in a way that he probably had not heard it before. Not because I'm so good at presenting it, because his situation opened him up to it. So if fatherhood does begin in the womb, then shouldn't we be doing something for these young men? I actually asked that question Wednesday. I think you contacted me Wednesday about coming. I actually asked someone at the center, I said, do we allow young men to come in to utilize our services without the young lady coming? She thought about it a minute. She said, yeah, I guess we could. I mean, these young men need counseling as well as these young ladies. And we should be as available to them as we are to the ladies. Seems like it's all about the ladies and all about the baby. But I think we need a little shift in focus here. So, yes, if you know any young men, just call us. We'll set up an appointment. It'll be a new day for all of us, but we're definitely willing to help. As is God's way, since 1994, he's had his hand on this ministry. Now he's leading us into a new season and asking more of us. After 21 years of faithful service, 7 as executive director, Vicki Brumley has been called in a new direction. Our new executive director, Chantal Small, is young, she's vibrant, and she really knows a lot about social media. A lot of stuff that, you know, some of us older folks don't know a lot about. But she wants to promote the center services both to young men and to young women. She wants it out there. If you are on social media, you can like the Pregnancy Center on Facebook. They run live feeds, Coffee with the Center, at 9 o'clock in the morning. You can replay those feeds. you know, and lots of good information. You'll find out what's going on at the center, how you can help, and things like that. And I know she's got many, many more wonderful things planned. She's only been in there, 2 weeks now? And she's doing an amazing job. Amazing job. As Christians, God calls us to service. We know that. We know that. There are so many ways that you can help. And one is by being a client advocate. And I would like to challenge some of you men, because we don't have any men who are client advocates. If we are going to serve young men in the future, then we need men. I raised boys. I'm really, really comfortable talking to guys. Never a problem. I'm a little less comfortable talking to the girls because, you know, I didn't raise girls. But I've got 37 years of boys under my belt, 39 years. And I'm really good at talking to guys. But a lot of times they don't want to share with a woman things that they will share with another man. We need you. Don't be afraid of saying the wrong thing. I did all that. They'll train you well. God will lead you what to say. We can always use you. If you're into teaching, men and women, okay, the Parenting Center can always, always use teachers. And you may come up with an idea for a class that they've never come up with before. You know, one of them was a woman wanted to learn to cook. And somebody came up with the idea that, hey, I can teach you a little bit about cooking, and I can also teach you how to teach your children to read. And oh, by the way, with these recipes, you can help them work on their math skills too. So whatever your talent is, bring it. They can use it. Some of you guys are really good with your hands, and I don't mean to leave the women out. You probably are too, but building maintenance is always, always necessary. Painting, fixing, we've got Dalton is wonderful, but he's only one person, and he can't do it all. So we can certainly use you there. The Parenting Center offers child care, which makes it possible for these women. Child care is not an excuse for them not to come for classes. So if you like taking care of babies or any other age, they can definitely use your services. If you're a little bit more of a behind-the-scenes kind of person, there's a huge warehouse behind the Parenting Center, and donations flood that place. They need people to sort them, to see what we can use, what we can't use, and get them ready to go to the Mom's Mart. Some of you are already doing this, and I thank you so very much. Right now, our ultrasound room is in desperate need of blankets. I told you about my friend who made the little blanket that I used. She sews a lot, and y'all, she uses scraps. And you younger ladies may know what these are called. They're little blankets about that big that they hang on to. What are they called? Security blankets. Linus and his security. But she makes those little bitty out of scraps. And all it is in that room is something for that woman to hold on to. A reality. Okay. So these are awesome. But if you've got scraps, don't throw them away. They don't have to be big. They can be very small. Very small. I spoke to you a little earlier about the banquet. You can sponsor a table at the banquet. All you have to do is get 8 other people to come with you and your wife, you and your boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. 10 people at a table. You don't pay for anything. You get a good meal and a good speaker. They're going to ask for money. It's a fundraiser. Okay? But you bless 8 other people, 8 other people with the opportunity to make a donation if they choose. And that's between them and God. All you have to do is be the vessel to invite them. On April the 27th, we'll be having our Champions for Life walk. Okay, and you can register at www.givethemoptions.com. You know, it's like any other walk that raises money. You get sponsors. You come and walk. You can walk. You can work one of the tables, registration, or passing out gifts or prizes or whatever happens to be needed. Okay, but that's another opportunity to serve. And it's always a lot of fun. And I'm glad we moved it out of June and into April. It won't be quite as hot. You can also be the feet of Jesus this coming Saturday. You saw on the video that the Walk for Life is January 26th from 10 to 12 at the Boardwalk. And you saw what we do, so I won't go into that. But I do want to go back for just a minute to Moses. Moses told the sons of Israel when they were grumbling and griping, you know, why didn't you leave us in Egypt? We're going to be out here in the desert and die, you know. And he told them in Exodus 14:14, God will fight for you if you will be silent. We can't be silent when it comes to saving these babies. We have to be active. God will fight for those babies, but he's fighting through us. We have to be his hands and feet. So I'll close by encouraging you, like Paul did the Ephesian elders in Acts 20:35. He said, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Thank you.
There are some more brochures up here at the front that gives you those dates and what she was talking about. I encourage you to pick those up. I encourage you to give. Encourage you to volunteer your time or effort, whatever it is that you can do as God leads you into that place. And, I think all of us who came in here today learned something. We learned some new things. I knew that they were there to help ladies in their efforts to stop abortion and to help them to know that there were other choices and they were not alone if they had their children. But, you know, they've expanded ministry to parenting, a lot of other things, and you know, the Bible studies, those things. I was aware of most of those, but there, hopefully we've learned that we can be involved in some other way besides that. And, as I said earlier in the service, I believe this issue is the issue that God is judging America by. I really believe that. And there comes a point in time where we sometimes throw up our hands and say, what can I do? So because we don't know what to do, we just kind of do nothing. And I think God's going to judge us for that too, because scripture says if we, know it's a sin and we know what to do is good and we don't do it, we're as guilty of sin as other. And folks, and abortion is a sin, but it's, it's a forgivable sin. That's all sin is. Okay. We that's what the gospel of Jesus Christ is really about. Is that he came into the world and died for us because we were sinners. Sin is what separates us from him. Sin is what leads us into every wrong choice and everything that happens in our lives. But Jesus Christ came to the world to die so that our sins could be forgiven and we could be cleansed. And he does. We live in a world today that has morally moved in a direction that don't seem to have any impact sometime, and we have a lot of couples who are living together. In the last 5 years since I've been here, one of the the things that I believe that's been, if there's any success in ministry, one of the things is we've had 8 couples connected to our church that I know of who were in live-in situations who are now married. That proves God is working, you know. And some of those are sitting here today. There are 4 of them, okay? There's 4 couples I look at today who are here. We're in that situation. God has worked in our lives. He is a forgiving God. He's a loving God. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then I'm going to ask you, if you will, to open your heart to Him, trust Him. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you today for the message that we've received, for the opportunity to be able to help. We do pray, there's one here without Christ, that they will open their heart to you. We also pray, Father, that you'll show us what we can do and that we'll have courage enough to take our stand and say, I'll do what I can. In Jesus' name. I'm going to ask, if you will, just to stand where we are. We're going to have a moment of invitation, but primarily I want you just to piano to play and let's stand together. In a spirit of prayer, I would ask you to do that, to make us conscious of where we are. And I'd ask you to personally right now in this time of meditation to make yourself available to God, to say, God, what can I do? Would you show me? And as His Holy Spirit reveals it to you, would you make that decision to say, God, I'll be obedient. He may want you to be involved in this ministry. It may be something else you can do. It may be to seize the opportunity with your family and your friends to share the gospel and to share what God can do in changing people's lives. But for you personally in your heart now to make a commitment to say, I'll do what God wants. And then if there's a decision you need to make public this morning, I'm going to ask you to do it. If you're here without Christ, I'm going to ask you to trust Christ. He is the answer. He's a forgiving, gracious God who will forgive and cleanse no matter where you're at. So I would ask you to come as God leads, just as the instrument plays.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ, or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.